some of the harder things that we deal with in life, the most painful things, are really a mercy.
Yeah.
Because
yes,
you find this intimacy with the Lord that
I never would've.
You would have never had
no.
had something painful. And like, I hate, like, I don't want people to have to go through
You should pursue
pain
God.
Like that.
You should pursue God.
Do it.
And there's this misconception that you got an option. You have a will, but you don't have an option. It's obedience. You are either in obedience or you are practicing witchcraft, because it tells you that rebellion is witchcraft. We don't want to talk about it like that.
We don't want
to
say
no to God. It's like, oh, I just said no. That's not cute. And you wonder why your life upside down.
Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley.
Amen.
Right. I'm sorry to call you Pastor Meg. I'm definitely putting that as your name in my phone. Pastor Meg.
I am not.
All right. I told you.
Brenda.
I said the same thing.
Brenda. Lord.
When it's on you, bro, you can't help it. I don't care where
Brenda.
You go. Oh, we ain't started yet. You want me to wait for the podcast to say it? It's on you. When something is on you, it means it's a decision God made about you before you were born. You cannot change his mind. And stop thinking about it in the capacity in which we've seen it already.
Because
it could look completely different. It could look like a podcast with cameras pastoring people through lenses. Who knows? Who am I?
Just a pastor yourself. just a preacher yourself.
Just out God. Here.
That makes me hot. It does. Like, my armpits are stinging. I'm not joking.
What?
Jesus.
It makes me hot.
It does. Edges is sweating. Like, that makes me hot.
Why does it make you hot?
I just, the responsibility of.
You have it anyway.
But Brenda.
you have it anyway.
Are we starting? We started. Hi, y'all. Jesus. Brenda. Y'all, welcome to In Totality. I am your host, and I have a guest, and she's making me sweat.
How you starting all sweating?
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Meg.
I'm so excited you're here.
I'm happy to be here. I'm honored.
Are you?
I am.
I'm honored.
I'm glad.
I saw you in this outfit, and I wanted you to leave. Like, I want you to leave it. I'm gonna give you some sweatpants and a t-shirt,
and you could just have it.
Yeah, and
I
you
can
just
do that.
Leave that here.
Got you.
And I will get you something to wear on the way home. And
then we can take it. Yeah. That's fine.
That outfit is too cute. I need it.
Well.
I need it. Or at least tell me where you got it from off mic. And then,
because we.
Yeah, we can gatekeep something.
They got to pay us for that one.
They got to pay us for that. Listen, it gets to that point, though. It's like.
It does.
It gets to that point.
For sure.
Like.
Because people be like, oh my God, I bought. Nope.
That's why, honestly, I started an Amazon storefront.
I need to.
Because there were so many books that like, get this book or get this journal or get this.
For sure.
And I was like, you know what? Let me
start. I was definitely brand ambassador for all of God. Every conversation.
That was me and Beta Satan. I probably have sent, I don't know, probably over 100 copies to people.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's
it changed my. Did you read Beta Satan?
Nope.
Brenda.
I know. Everybody brings it up. I'm guys, okay? Let me get through all of God. All right?
Did you? Are you finished? Where are you
I'm
at?
Taking my time. Very slow.
Like, are you on like chapter one?
Six.
Okay.
You tried it.
The way you was looking
one,
at
no, it's crazy.
Like,
one, though, it's crazy. Girl, you've been talking about this for 6 weeks. One, chapter one is crazy. And nope. I need to be ashamed.
So he did say, so I actually have that book here. I actually have both of them.
Come on.
I have John Beta Bevere. Satan. John Bevere is.
Hero. Okay. Because him and Lisa do not care. They don't care how you feel.
And when I tell you I look up to them, my eyes watering so bad, I look up to them in a way that is like, I love them.
No, for sure.
Like parents. Like, I look at them as like spiritual aunt and uncles or parents. They are just their boldness. And I don't know if it's like, because I feel like John Bevere's probably always been that way and Lisa both.
Yeah.
But I think something comes with age.
Where you just.
I cannot wait.
There are a lot of things I'm storing up.
I mean,
my old age. It says, it don't matter. Like, I've earned the right to say this.
When the Bible says the Lord is storing up wrath, so am I. I'm storing it up.
You said, remember 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to tell you.
I cannot wait to do like a 20-year anniversary episode. And I'm just going
there. Here are the things.
All the things.
I've been holding.
I can't wait. So anyway, I have both of these books because they are on my Amazon storefront. And these books changed my life. Yeah, no. And what I love about The All of God, it's you're actually supposed to read it a chapter a week.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I've been doing a chapter a day.
Is it a chapter a day or a chapter a week? Was it a chapter a week? I think it's a chapter week? A week.
Oh,
which is you're doing good.
I'm right up there.
You are ahead of the curve.
Okay? I started reading it. It got too real. I said, wait a minute.
That's why
I need to pause this.
Yep.
Because I need to get in the right posture. Yep. For this. I didn't ask you to wreck my. I read the intro to the intro. Yeah. And I was like, I never felt the presence of God reading a book.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Let me go do some.
Yes.
Get some stuff together. And I'm yes. going to come back to it.
All of his books. And I haven't read all of them, but I've read these two and I've had to you have to digest it.
Yeah, yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, you have to have a real, like, Selah moment yeah. when you are reading these books because they're not, and what I love about it is that he's not, like, sugarcoating anything.
No.
It's like, you're offended.
Yes.
You're, like, you have no reverence for the
when
Lord.
When he tells you the church. Crazy. That the Brazil church, the way he read them, I said.
The way he read them?
I said, oh, you're not about to read me like you read them. He did.
Read them. And I pray when I read that, the major thing that I prayed was for that type of boldness.
Yeah.
To do whatever God says to do.
Without a care.
And it was crazy. I know we just kind of like random jumped into it. We just jumped into it.
Because why not? It's what it is.
But I was talking to my Patreon community last night, and one of the girls asked a question about, she felt like God wanted her to tell her friend something.
Mm-hmm.
Or like give her a warning or tell her like what you're doing isn't right. And she was hesitant.
Yeah.
Because she was scared. And it reminded me of Jeremiah. When the Lord tells him, don't look at their faces.
Nope.
And that is a thing that I feel like for you and I right now in this space,
yeah.
we're going to have that yeah. level of boldness.
For sure.
And not look at the faces of people.
No. And I also don't want that responsibility. You know, like the weight of being disobedient. Because somebody's life could depend on what I need to say.
Literally.
And I hold that all the time. And it's like... We always talk about the account we got to give at the end of our life. It's not just for what you do. It's for what you didn't do.
Ooh.
So I have to also say, well, I didn't do this because I was afraid. No. In Jeremiah and Ezekiel, he said, mm-hmm. if you don't say this, the mm-hmm.
blood
is
on
your
hands.
No, I'm good.
I'm straight.
You can't have your own blood. I don't want it on
my
hands.
I don't want it.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm getting to a point where I'm like, it is what it is. It's easier when it's people you don't know. It's harder when God's asking you to speak against people or speak against the behaviors of people mm-hmm. that you love.
Mm.
That's hard.
We talked about this a little bit the other yeah. day, and that's really what I want to... I want to get...
You said, this is really what I want to talk about.
I really want to get into that because I feel like we're in unique spaces right now as the level of our influence increases mm-hmm. in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always asking God, I'm like, why this time?
I say, you really trust me. You know, I always said I didn't want to be born in slavery time because I wouldn't have lasted.
I wouldn't have.
But, you know, on second thought, civil rights movement era, you know, maybe a little bit there because I'm like, Lord, this is crazy.
This is different.
It's crazy.
Do you feel that like, being in this space and like you said, having to like be bold
mm-hmm.
and say some things that are hard because it might come up against somebody that you maybe had admiration for
yeah.
or even, you know, honor for. And now as you get deeper in God's word, I know for me at least, as I got deeper in God's word, I'm starting to see things that I'm like, this
yeah.
isn't this isn't okay.
For sure.
This isn't right.
And I'll be okay if it just could end at the sea.
But then...
it's the call to address. And I'm like, you sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
I battle with yeah. that. And sometimes I'm like, especially because I'm like, I didn't ask for this. You know? I was behind the camera.
That part.
Never, not, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody cared what I had to say.
Yeah.
When I had 2,000 followers. Nobody cared. Nobody cared what I was doing. And now I overthink everything.
Man.
I'm like,
man.
What does this mean? What are they gonna?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Okay, so before we get into all those things, tell me, give me a background just on who you are.
Girl, who are you?
All your thing, all the things. But I have to tell y'all, because Brenda gave me a bit of her testimony. And when
now
she told me,
the people.
No, I am, because the way you did not at all brace us.
Hey, how are you supposed to say, hey, I'm about to say something that's going to really.
Just like that. What? I'm about to say something and I need you to be prepared.
You were like, I said, I didn't have capacity.
I said, Brenda, I said, you did not ask me if I had the capacity to do that. You have to ask people, do you have the capacity for my testimony? Because it is, it's a curveball.
That is crazy.
You need to ask
Can
people that.
Can you imagine a testimony service and you go to the mic like, do you guys have capacity
no.
for what I'm about to share?
The way your testimony is, you need to brace. So I'm going to do what she didn't do, y'all. I'm going to brace y'all.
Dang.
So she's going to tell you, and it's going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're going to listen to this. And you're going to be like, yeah, all right, okay, God is good. All right, see.
Wait, what? This is...
Say it again.
I'm finished.
So, Brenda, please tell
me. Now you hyped it up, though.
No.
You said it doesn't need no...
Tell these people.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, guys, I'm Brenda. Palmer.
Brenda Palmer.
I'm from Chicago. I currently live in LA. I don't know where to start because you didn't added that in there.
Okay, so you are used to being behind the scenes. You've been in church your whole life.
For sure.
Life.
Okay, yeah. So, that's usually where I go. You threw me completely off, bro.
It's well, I had to warn them.
You have to warn them.
Yes, I did.
It needs the shock value.
Oh. Okay. Y'all gonna see. Y'all gonna be like, I did not see that coming. I was in my car like, it was dead silence for at least like 20 seconds.
I have to get, because like, at first I didn't used to give time for reaction. It would just be like, yeah, because, and then like finish telling the story.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave me a minute to pause. I had to gather myself, my edges, and all. Okay.
All right. So my parents are pastors.
So you're a PK.
I'm a PK. I grew up in church. I actually never wanted anything to do with church. So my background is in production. So I went to school for communications. I went to grad school at Syracuse to study.
Nice.
Yeah, I went there for, I literally lived everywhere. I did undergrad in Mississippi. I did grad school in New York.
Wow.
From Chicago, and now I live in LA.
Wow.
So I've hit all the corners.
Yeah.
So I originally went to school to be a producer. Love content producing, behind the scenes. I've worked at TBN. I've done stuff for Tidal, for BET, like all those things. Like, I really love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved. Originally, I was going to move to LA in 2014, and then stuff started falling apart, and I'm not built to live in my car. So I was like, it's giving. The Lord might want me to wait. And I'm going to wait because I can't be homeless or poor. I just wasn't built for that. I wasn't prepared for it. I got a good daddy and he takes care of me. And even if I was in LA, he would still do the same. But I was like, nah, I can't do it. And so I ended up, I was like working at H&M, like doing random stuff. And then I started on staff as like a social media associate, like helping them build social media out. Then I progressed, into like running media. And then I built a creative team. I was running production every Sunday. I was handling like the pastor at that church. He wrote books. He did music. So I was doing like tours and I was running audio.
Wow.
Like I was, every skill I have used in the real world came from serving at church because you do everything.
For sure.
I was all the things. And so I did that maybe for like, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I was on staff full time there. They're like my second family. Like, they're my spiritual parents. I had keys to their house. Like, I traveled with them. Like, I was her armor bearer. So I would literally, I lived in the city. She lived in the suburbs. I would drive from the city to the suburbs, pick her up to take her to her small group, take her back home, drive back to the city. Like, I was serving. And so, like, maybe roughly, I have to tell this part because I visited LA in 2016 and felt like God told me to move in April of 2017. And I went back, like, in November, told them, like, I'm going to move in April. Top of the year, my supervisor quits. He doesn't come back from Christmas break. So I'm like, all right, cool. I can't leave them. Like, who's going to do my... what I do. Like,
yeah.
I can't, he already quit. Like, what am I going to do about that? So I stayed out of loyalty, which is really disobedience because God said a thing. And so fast forward, April of 2018, I was dating a guy who I had been friends with for 10 years. And then we started dating and I found out that he was like in a relationship with my pastor, my male pastor. She said, I had to give you a minute to process that.
You landed it a lot softer than you did the other day.
Bro, it's because you
can't. I appreciate that. But that is wild.
You know, it's pretty crazy. Pretty, like, crazy experience, too. Like, but I will say this. Because the only reason I continue to share it is because we will experience things in places where we're supposed to find God.
Mm-hmm.
And when our hearts are broken in that space, we leave God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like the fact that I do what I do, like as a preacher, as someone who gets to communicate the gospel, is like, in spite of that, I'm still rocking with God because someone's humanity doesn't diminish God's divinity, right? Like, it doesn't diminish his love for me.
Yeah.
I know that that is not aligned with the character of God. So I'm not going to walk away from God because someone was human. And so I feel like in that season, though, I learned God's heart because nobody in that church would have known I was going through that. Because I found out in April, it didn't come out until Mother's Day. And when I say come out, I mean like within the group of people. So I was holding it. So I
knew. Oh, so you knew this was a secret.
But I didn't say anything. And so, like, it was like, because I found out, and I can't disclose how I found out because I ain't trying to, you know. But I found out. And it's just like, I would like kind of watch them interact for weeks. And I just like, I held it. I didn't tell anybody.
Did they know you knew?
Nope. I actually never intended to address it. I was just going to quit and move on with life. Like, I didn't intend, because what I kept saying was like, I, for whatever reason, this is why I think like when we talk about gifts, like being a pastor is about your heart, not about what you do on a platform. And my first response to my trauma and my devastation was other people. Like, I didn't want it to affect other people. I have a different, I'm a different type of person. So I can separate the two. Everybody can do
that.
And so I immediately went into protection mode. Like, how do I make sure this doesn't get out? And so I genuinely was not going to say nothing. I was just, but I was like dying a slow death because I was internalizing everything. So I was like, I'd lost so much weight. I was breaking out. I was, and I would come home because I was living with my parents at the time. My mom would be like, are you okay? I'm like, nah, I'm not. But I can't tell you because my parents were also going to the church. Everybody, it was my entire world was connected to this space. My community, my family. So it's kind of like, it's just me. And so I remember my mom, she would be like, Brenda, I'm like, nah, I can't tell you. If you want to know, you should ask God. And she did. And I came home one day and I was like, she looked like I felt.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, you good? And she was like, nah.
And God told her.
And she said, Holy Spirit revealed to me, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, oh, you walk with the Father. You know him, because verbatim.
No.
Verbatim. And then I told her who it was. And then for the first time in that situation, I could cry.
Wow.
And still, like, was kind of just navigating it or whatever. And then when they found out that I knew, it was like a series of conversations. I didn't leave the church right away. Like, God didn't release me right away. That happened in April. They found out I knew in May. And then I went on, like, a 30-day, like, for the month of June. Or, like, May to June. I went to L.A., And God was like, it's time to move. But I never went back to work there, but I still served at that church every Sunday until I moved to California August 28, 2018.
Wow.
And paid my tithes.
Wow.
Because somebody be like, you ain't getting my money. My tithes ain't about a person.
Oh.
I'm going to be obedient until God releases me.
Wow.
And I did. I stayed there and served there. And I remember that pastor telling me in conversation, he's like, you proved to me how real God is. Because he never knew I knew by the way I treated him, because I still honored
him. Wow. Brenda.
You have to, bro. It's like, I don't take any credit for it because I can't even articulate how.
Yeah, for sure.
It was the grace of God.
Yeah, for sure.
And I literally turned off the world. I wasn't listening to music. I wasn't watching TV. I was like going home, watching sermons, reading my word, talking to God and saying, if you don't get me through the day, I'm not going to make it.
Oh,
and like, yeah, God. Like interacting with them, like it was.
So let me ask you, did when he said that to you, like, I know God is real because of how you've treated me. Did anything change in him? Like, did he change? Did he repent? Did he turn? Did something happen? Did he sit down? Did he get a seat, a stool?
I don't know, bro.
Did he cop a squat?
You know, I feel like the Lord deals with people. And that's how we have to. I can't be concerned.
Yeah, got it.
It's one of those things where it's like, dang, I wouldn't wish that on nobody. But I'm grateful that happened because the level in which I know God on, I wouldn't have experienced him that way without that part of my life.
Right. And I can totally relate to not the story. I cannot relate to that. I cannot.
It's not the story. Most people can't, I would say most people can't, but me sharing my testimony happened to be my first episode of my podcast, one of those yeses to God, because I wasn't out here trying to do that. And the amount of people that would DM me
saying they had a similar story.
Very similar.
With pastors?
Still today, like Megan, last week.
But like
with their principal,
not their pastors, right?
Last week.
Brenda.
Last week in 2024, somebody said, man, I'm watching your story and I don't want you to identify with that. And then I understood why I had to share it. Because I intended to take it to my grave. Because I also carried a level of shame around it.
For sure.
Like, and there was a process. There was a time where I couldn't tell it without crying. There was a time where I couldn't tell it without reliving the emotions. Because I think everybody sees it like, oh, your pastor. No, let's talk about what that means for me as a woman, that the person I was dating chose someone else.
Like a different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, no, there are a lot of things I had to navigate that I didn't get to process until I moved to LA because I was pastoring everybody else through my own trauma.
Now, do you feel like you would have done it the same way where you are now in the sense of, because I believe everything that you said was so admirable. And I believe it's the heart posture that God wants us to have in the sense of, nope, like that pastor and that family didn't know that you felt any type of way, even though you knew something.
Yeah, yeah. Until they did.
Oh, and then
because I found out in April. We ended up having a conversation in May because I literally was dying. Mm. Like, so that part, like internalizing it, no. But also, I had never been to therapy. Nobody taught me. I didn't have tools.
Yeah.
I didn't have tools to navigate that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do I do about this kind of thing?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think in that sense, I definitely wouldn't have done it that way. But I think in our initial conversation, there are some things that I probably would have done differently.
Wow.
But I think I still would have stayed if God didn't release me. I think I still would have done majority of the things the same way, except for I probably would have moved to California the year before. So I didn't have to go through that.
For sure. For sure.
For sure. And
I feel like and I said this on another episode, I feel like some of the harder things that we deal with in life and like the most painful things are really a mercy.
Yeah.
Because you find this intimacy with the Lord that
you would have never had
had something painful. And like, I hate you guys. This episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out, more than 2 years after Emancipation Day, that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show. Like, I don't want people to have to go through
pain. No, you should pursue God. Like that. You should pursue God.
And it's like,
and
let
then
us...
he ain't gotta hem you up by your neck and just shake your entire world.
Let us like, help.
All I want is Jesus.
Let us help you.
Please.
Don't this... go. You don't have.
You don't want to go through you the don't. Muck and the miry.
You don't. Like, bro, last year was such a hard year.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, but.
But it's like,
if I
can keep other people.
For sure.
From having to go through some like really unnecessary pain. Yeah. Just to draw them closer to the Lord. I just, like Brenda said, just surrender.
Yeah.
Just,
for sure.
Just surrender.
Because I have to acknowledge the fact that God told me to move a year.
Yeah.
It was a year to date. He said April 2017. That happened April 2018.
Wow.
There is a grace in obedience. There's a covering.
Yeah.
And not like God out here trying to get his lick back because I didn't listen to him.
He ain't petty.
No. But he could see it before I could.
Yeah.
And I should have just obeyed him even in my unknowing.
Yeah.
But instead, it's like, nah, I don't. They need me. And he's like, I'm trying to save you.
And I was telling my Patreon community last night, we have these live Zooms on Thursdays, and I was telling them last night, I'm like, you feed two different things when an opportunity to obey comes.
Mm-hmm.
When you obey, you're feeding the obedience, so the next time God tells you to do something, it's easier and quicker to obey.
Yeah.
But if he gives you something to do and you don't obey, you're feeding disobedience, which makes it easier to tell the Lord no when he tells you to do something. And so I feel like, especially right now, like I knew that this year, like obedience was like a big thing. And I feel like if we're not like, this is not the time to play around.
Yeah.
When he gives you something to do.
No, do it.
Do it.
And there's this misconception that you got an option. You have a will, but you don't have an option. It's obedience. You are either in obedience or you are practicing witchcraft, because it tells you that rebellion is witchcraft. We don't want to talk about it like that.
We don't want
to
say
no to God. It's like, oh, I just said no. That's not cute. And you wonder why your life upside down. Well, you're practicing witchcraft. All right.
Brenda.
I'm just saying, we can't, because people are like, how do you obey? How do you not? You don't have it. You don't have an option.
You don't have a choice. You have a choice.
You have a will, but you don't have you don't have an option.
Yeah.
When you take that long walk down that aisle, say yes to Jesus, however you took the walk, because some of y'all taking it in the comments on Instagram, and I love that.
And I love that for you.
I love that.
If that's what you got
to
do.
But when you say yes, I need you to know what it means. We need to give disclaimers instead of saying, come on, say yes to Jesus. He going to give you everything you ever dreamed of. That's a lie. You probably going to lose everything you dreamed of. Like, that's
your
not
dreams
true.
Are.
They ain't no, I don't have them. They belong to him.
They belong.
Everything belongs to him. I don't have another option. It's like, what is the process? Just say yes.
Just say yes.
Because you're going to give a yes. You either going to give it now or you're going to give it under pressure.
Ooh.
You're going to be like, oh, I should have. You don't have another option. As a believer, your life does not belong to you.
What do you feel? Why do you feel? Okay, before I even get into that, because I remember I told you the other day, I was like, I want you to watch The Pilgrim Progress.
Yes, and I forgot.
It's okay. I want you to watch it because there's a part in the beginning. So basically, it's about this guy who's going on his journey. He feels this burden and this call for the Lord.
Yeah.
And he is like trying to get his family to come. He's like, come on, we have to get to this gate. And like, God is calling us to do this and this and that. And I had to, like, I warn you guys, just like I warned you, the animation is really bad. But the story is so good. So anyway, he takes this burden on it. So it's like this backpack, but this is the burden that the Lord has given him, right? And he heads on his journey. And so his two friends come. And do you remember their names, Jordan? One was, I forget their names. But there was two friends that are trying to convince him to come back home. It's like, bro, you tripping. You left your wife and your kids. Like, you are wilding out here. Like, come, like, you're losing it. Like, you can't do this. And so one friend is, like, super negative, and the other friend is like, well, I mean,
indifferent.
Okay, like, maybe. He's like, well, and so the character's name is Christian. And so Christian is like telling his friends, like, you don't understand. The streets are paved with gold and it's amazing. And God's with us. And he's telling them all these great things. And so the one obstinate and Pliant, those are the two friends' names. And I think it's Pliant who decides to join him on the journey.
Okay.
Because it sounds like this amazing journey.
Like,
he's like,
oh, why not?
Streets of gold and, you know, it's going to be all these amazing things. So they go. So the other friend leaves and Pliant stays. And Pliant and Christian are going on their journey. And their first encounter, they get caught in the mud.
Mm.
They're in the mud. Mm. Like, and his friend is like, this is not what you said. And it showed me how, like, we can, when you said disclaimer, how real we need to be, and how I feel that, like, even with, like, with my podcast and all the things that I do, I want to be so transparent and honest about it. That's why I said in totality and not part, like, just the good part. We need to be clear about what this walk really is like, because I feel like what happened to Pliant is what happens to a lot of people.
And then they like, this ain't it. And
you told me the Lord wasn't going to leave us. You said we was going
to
be.
You said I was about to get my breakthrough.
You said
I was about to be flexing on my haters. It's like, that's dumb. And I wish y'all stopped doing that. I really feel like you making my job harder. Now I got to get on the Instagram live and debunk all the myths y'all done made about Jesus. now I have to do extra work.
Because
we are supposed as preachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, Ephesians 4 says to equip the saints. That's why you exist. You exist to equip.
Tell them.
You exist to equip, okay? You're not preparing anybody with a call to Jesus about what he's going to do for you. He's already done through this what he's going to do. He's already done it. He died. And you still got breath in your body. That's enough. Because what if he just... Stop.
Ananias is. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
That's
like,
New Testament. Didn't we talk about that? We were like, that's New Testament.
Yeah, because I think like we're presenting this idea of like a God, like, oh, I'm gonna do this, so you gonna do this. No, your yes to Jesus is a response to what he's already done. I choose to obey in response.
Yeah.
I love God in response to his love.
Yeah.
It's not, I didn't start the conversation. He did. I'm responding to it. And so we have to like, people are everything in your life when you say yes to Jesus is about him.
Not about you.
Your wealth.
Yep.
Your purpose.
Yep.
Your position. Your influence. It's all for him. Because here's the thing. Everything you get in this world gonna fade away.
Yeah.
So that has to mean that there's more to this life than just what I gain here.
Yeah.
There has to be a purpose.
Yeah.
And we don't have eternal mindsets at all. We live for the moment, especially our generation.
Yeah.
That's why we ain't saving no money. Cause
listen,
I could die tomorrow, and you could die tomorrow. So
you could
what
die
are
in the next?
Listen,
5 minutes. Like you could.
Yeah. So what are you doing right now that can be applied eternally.
Yeah.
Because that's what matters.
Yeah. That's why I can't wait to read. So my next John Brevere book is Driven by Eternity. I'm going to get you that book. I'm going to get it to I'm going to send you.
Because.
I'm going to send it to you.
John, slow down. slow down. They're so old.
They're so
old. I don't know
old.
How they are ending up on our list today, but I'm grateful. But slow down.
It's like John.
Slow down.
So he said, so this book is about living with an eternity mindset.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so necessary right now because we are living in with a mindset of just 80 years mindset. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you may not get the next 8 minutes.
That's
you prepared?
No, because you still ain't said yes. You still think it's your life.
Okay, so tell me why. There's so many things.
Yeah, you have 5 questions that you have not said.
I know. I know. There's so many things because why do you feel? Oh, this is what I'll just say, and you can tell me what you think. I was grieved after I got off the phone with you. I was grieved.
I was grieved.
And obviously not in a bad way. I believe I'm grieved in a way we're supposed to be grieved, right? And when we were on the phone, something that you said struck me when you were like, bro, like, who's discipling us? You're like, we're really out here.
Instagram and John Bevere's books. No, for sure.
Who's deciding? And when you said that, it like triggered something so much in me because I do believe that like we can relate a lot in the sense of being in this space, being Black millennial females in this space, being communicators of the gospel. Right? I'm not a pastor, nor am I a preacher. Brenda, shut up.
Drinking my water.
Drink your water.
Please
drink your water.
But when it's on you.
Drink your water. And when you said that, I was like, man, you right. Like, are they, and the reason why it grieves me, and I was like, and this isn't everybody, because there are some amazing people out there who really do love the Lord, who have reached out to be like, I see you, keep going, praying for you, all those things, right? But it made me think about the leaders that we look up to, right? And I'm like, the reason why we're not hearing holiness in the preaching anymore, the reason why we're not hearing about reverence of the Lord, repentance, is because we have a bunch of leaders who don't live holy lives. They don't live repentive lives.
And I can't tell you something that I'm going to be held responsible for. I also think, like, I think that we are often distracted by gifts.
Yeah.
Like, on both sides. I think that possibly nobody has reached out to disciple us because they like, they good.
Right.
Clearly, somebody must be discipling them.
It's like, me, when you said that, I was like, Brenda, you really out here? Like we are out here.
I was discipling myself because I told you the other day on Instagram, somebody made me mad. And the old Brenda resurfaced. And I had to get on my story and say, could y'all stop being weird in people's comments? And then I was like,
Holy Spirit said, Brenda, take that down.
Because I always, it's something I have to, like a standard I hold myself to is like, if I say this, if I do this, if I go to this place, after I make that decision, can I offer them Jesus?
Mm.
And if I can't, it ain't for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's tough because sometimes, like, I know I have friends that be like, Brenda, it'd be really deep. Like, it's not that deep. It is.
It is.
For me, it is. I can't. The weight of my calling is too heavy to just be frivolous with it. And I'm learning that, like, because I like to be outside. And I'm learning in this season, the Lord is like, come in, daughter. You can't be outside. I can't. I cannot go any, bro. I went to a Broadway play, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is like, somebody's gonna be like, Brenda, it's not that, it is. So I like wore a blazer, but I didn't wear like a shirt because I'm outside. I'm trying to be 33, you know
right? Right, it's like, and we're single.
Soon as I got in the building, somebody said, Pastor Brenda. I said, I can't go anywhere. I would have to go to Timbuktu to go outside. So literally, okay, so I wave somebody from my Bible study. And I'm like, hey, he worked at the theater. I said, hey. I go sit down in my seat, minding my business. And the guy goes, I know you. I said, do you? Because at this point. And I'm literally right. Sitting in the thing like this the whole time. He's like, yeah. He's like, you preached that.
Not you preach.
The whole time. And he goes, when do you preach again? I just came to see the play by myself, you know. And I needed to dress like I was by myself because we don't know who might be outside. Well, apparently the saints.
Brenda.
The saints were outside. And so I'm like, so now my friends are like, you can't go anywhere with us. They're like, no, because we
absolutely
don't need to end
not.
Up on the shade
right.
room we're talking about Pastor Brenda out in the I said, again, my life don't, clearly my
it
life
doesn't
does not belong,
belong
to me.
You. But it, can I be honest with you? I have, that was one of the areas where I feel like I knew the Lord was working on my heart because that I cared about what he thought about what I wore.
Yep.
I started to care.
It matters.
It matters.
It matters. And somebody's like, but you? Yep.
It matters.
But I don't know if they felt uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable because he didn't say Brenda. He said Pastor Brenda. Now, I'm not outside in that capacity, but that's the thing. You are. Your calling is not subjective to a platform. It is who God, it's my nature. It's, and I have the ability to sway. I was just reading a random scripture. It talked about like not allowing your knowledge to like send somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 2 Corinthians. I literally opened my Bible and I was like, I didn't ask for this. Just read your whole Bible. You might come across it. But it was like, that really got me because, right, I could be mature enough to handle certain spaces mm-hmm. and certain things that they don't influence me. But the moment I go and I post, now I've given somebody permission to go somewhere that they might not have the capacity to handle.
Yeah.
So I hold that.
Man, you know what's crazy? Were we talking about this, Jordan? I think it was me and Jordan in the office talking about this because there was, you know, I saw... I'm trying to be mindful.
No, I know. I know. You got to choose your words. You got to choose your words. Take your time.
Because it's no shade, no condemnation at all. This is just an observation that I saw and I thought it was interesting. But like, when you are a leader or influencing people to know the Lord, mm-hmm. right? Pastors, whatever. What you said is so important. Like, my yes to something, my permission to something by going to this concert,
yeah.
by listening to this music,
yep.
by wearing this outfit, that gives license yes. to people, whether they're mature enough to deal with it or not.
And, it's on
and
you.
We have to be mindful of that.
That's all.
When I say, this is why I really don't post on Instagram that much.
Yeah, I have learned my lessons.
Because I don't in any way want to be a stumbling block.
For sure.
Because maybe, you know, maybe it's not a thing for me. Maybe I'm strong in an area, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I can't ignore my influence mm-hmm. and be like, well, I gotta live too. No, yep. this is the
you
life.
You don't gotta live. You have to die.
Daily
is Brandon. What Paul said. And then we be trying to make it about the big stuff. No, it's the little stuff.
It's the little stuff.
I remember, I don't know if I get in trouble for this, but I went to yoga. I know, right? I went to yoga with the church people. Every time I tell this story, I need to tell that. I was going to a church with the whites. And they were all going to yoga. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to try hot yoga. Because they were like, you could never survive hot yoga. I was like, I feel challenged. And I had never been to yoga because I don't really fool with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to yoga. And it was one of the most spiritual experiences I've ever had in my life. I wept. And the only place I weep is in the presence of God. So I was very confused. Yeah. And I was like, a part of me felt like, you know, like as Black women, we carry stress in our bodies. And I was like, I feel so free. And I was like, I'm going to do this all the time. I had posted on my story that I went to yoga. So I'm like, if I die, y'all know, because I don't, it's going to be hot. I was with her. And so like, I come out of yoga. I'm like, man, it was like really cool, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I have a friend, like she's one of my best friends. She lives in Cleveland. And she comments and says, never go back there. And I'm like, bro, what happened? I was like, it was good. You know, I didn't say namaste. I said, in Jesus' name. Because I don't know what that means. And I'm not going to be fooling with stuff. And she was like, no. So when she said that, she was like, it's worship, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, that's crazy. I literally had shin pain in my shins until I broke covenant. No. My pains in my shins. And I was like, why is this happening? So I started doing research and obviously discovering that like yoga is rooted in Hinduism mm-hmm. and all the positions are actual deities.
Yeah.
And so, and the crazy thing is it was worship because I had the same experience I have in worship in that was what threw me. I was like, why is this a spiritual experience? Like, what is happening? And now I have given everybody that follows me license to go to yoga because I didn't told them I went. And then I had to get right back on and say, hey, don't do that.
So when you say you broke covenant for anybody because, who watches.
Meaning like I didn't know what I had done.
Right, right.
And so I just said, God, anything that I came into covenant with by being in that environment, mm-hmm. by participating mm-hmm. in the practice of yoga, the fact that it's called a practice means it's not just an exercise. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in something deeper than mm-hmm. that. And we are so deceived by culture because. Why are we going to yoga? Because somebody saw somebody do it. We seen somebody be admired. Like, oh, they went to yoga. I should go to yoga. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, don't go to yoga. And stop doing stuff and you don't know why you're doing it. We have to stop.
We have
to stop. Because you are engaging in things like my literal body was responding to something I had done. And I was completely unaware of it. And it wasn't until I prayed and said, God, I renounce any covenant that I made knowingly or unknowingly by participating in that environment, and the pain was gone. And I believe the Lord allowed the pain because I wouldn't have paid attention to it.
Oh my God.
No,
gosh.
It was crazy.
So I'm reading this book. Have you heard of Crazy Love by Frances Chan?
No.
I'll send you that one
too. I need to be friends with Megan. She read a lot because I'm struggling with this one book and she didn't name five of them since I've been sitting here.
This is new for me. Okay. I hate reading.
I'm going to read a lot because the Lord is changing my life this year. So now I'll have time.
Because you're not outside.
I'm about to be, I don't even want to talk about it because I'm still
and no shirts underneath.
It's so crazy. He said, because who did you think you were? I feel like sometimes God be publicly embarrassing me on purpose. Because why would you even come outside like that? I can't post a picture because
Then I know you took them. Mm-hmm. You was like, oh, I'm posting these tickets.
Because I got in, they gave me the tickets to go to the things I was supposed to post about it. Well, the Lord said no.
I'm screaming. Okay, so I'm reading this book, Crazy Love, and it's in one of the chapters in chapter 4, he talks about being lukewarm. And it's a heavy chapter.
I'm sure.
And so I'm reading this with my Patreon community, and we're all in the chat like, anybody throw their book away? Because it's heavy, right?
I don't even know why you're telling me about this book.
Oh, yeah. You're going to read it. You need to read it. It's going to bless. It's going to bless your soul, especially as you're reading all of God. Oh, my gosh. Or if you do back. Oh, my gosh.
You're trying to get me to read them at the same time.
I'm just saying.
Listen here. I'm just no.
You're like, I'm in school. I'm a pastor. No. So listen. So one part in the chapter 4, where it talks about lukewarm, being lukewarm. Something he said really struck a nerve with me, because he said God's standard is now considered radical. Like the bare minimum of what God requires is now seen as, oh, you're a radical extreme. Christian. You're extreme.
Y'all too deep. Child, this, we ain't got to no depths. We are at the shore. No, that's, it's real.
So what do you think that obviously, right, this has been, this was prophesied, right?
Yeah.
In the end times, people are going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be deceived. We know all of this stuff, mm-hmm. right? We know this was going to happen. But how do you feel, or maybe what are your challenges with pushing back against that? Because I feel like sometimes it's hard. Like, we're still people. At the end of the day, we're still human. So we still feel, we still have a human experience where it's like, dang, man, like, you don't want to offend anybody.
Yep.
Am I being too deep? Because I know me, like, especially after going through what I went through last year, I questioned myself so much. Yeah. I questioned my discernment. I questioned things that I know that God showed me. Because I'm like, maybe it's not that deep. Maybe I'm tripping.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, so how do you balance that challenge?
It is that deep. And I think two things. I think, well, I actually think a few things. The first thing I think is how we ended up here is that we've conditioned the standards to our comfortability.
Mm.
So it's like the standard of God is what I'm comfortable with.
Mm.
And over time, that's been established as a standard. Because somebody, this is like, I could do this much.
Yeah.
But I could still, I think there are a lot of things that play into that. Mm-hmm. Like wanting to be accepted, your money, because when you talk about churches, you got to talk about money,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to disrupt their money.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to hold you to the standard they should hold you to, because they don't want to disrupt their money.
Jesus.
And so that is like a huge thing.
Yeah.
Right. But I think for me and how I'm navigating that, I think what was once just a conversation I would have with my friends is now feeling like a burden.
Yep.
So it would be something I would just talk to my friend who is as deep as me, and we just have back and forth mm-hmm. conversations like, ooh, I can. And we mm-hmm. understand each other. It's like, how does anybody ever discover this standard if it's never set, if it's never lived out?
Yeah.
And so now it's become a responsibility.
Yeah.
And I remember I was talking to a newer friend, and they were kind of asking me like what I thought about something. Mm-hmm. And I had very strong opinions about what they were asking me. Mm-hmm. But because they were a new friend and I didn't know how they were going to accept it.
That, yep.
I reeled it in back.
Yeah.
And then I remember them saying in the conversation, I like try to go a little mm-hmm. bit. It's just like, but we don't want to judge. I say, oh, let me pull that back.
Yep.
And I remember leaving that dinner and God saying, you just compromised. Truth. And he said, how can I trust you to say truth on a platform in a room full of people you admire, in a room full of people that you feel like are older than you, more wiser than you, and I can't trust you to hold the weight of truth in a conversation? And after that moment, that wrecked me. I'm like overcoming perfectionist. And I don't like to mess up. It breaks my heart when I feel like I disappointed God or mm-hmm. I let him down.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said, I felt myself, because I knew what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought that what we were talking about was completely wrong.
Yeah.
And it's not judgment when I'm holding you to the standard by which you said you wanted to live.
Yeah.
You said you were a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
You think I'm not. And they'll try to play like the pastor card. First of all, I'm not even a pastor. Okay. Let's start there. Second of all, this your same standard, bro. These are principles of what it means to be a disciple. people not being discipled. So this, well, that's how we got here, man. That's how we got here. The same thing, but yeah,
no,
I think,
but seriously, yeah.
And I've seen the fruit of truth though. Like in this, yeah. I have like a friend, and like we were butt heads all the time because she would say something, and I'd be like, bro, you shouldn't be doing that. Mm. And here's the thing. It's not my job to make her change her mind.
Yeah.
It's only my job to speak the truth. Whatever you do with it is on yeah. you. But yeah. I'm compromised if you say something I don't agree with it and I just let them live. That's wrong. Back to that account. I keep that at the forefront of my mind. Before a decision, I'm like, I don't want this one on my account. Let me.
I don't.
I'm going to speak truth. And I've seen her on her own deal with God and make different decisions.
Yeah.
But I'm responsible for the seed.
Yeah.
Or I'm responsible to water a seed that somebody else planted.
Yeah.
But I got to give you truth. You could do whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
But I'm a...
And the problem, I feel like, part of the problem is that we are giving license to multiple truths.
Ah.
You got a truth. They got a truth. He got a truth.
Jesus is the only truth. And if it don't align with... Jesus is not going to approve something that goes against himself.
Ever. Ever. But this is why, Brenda, this is why I'm so encouraged by you. I'm grateful. I'm a really emotional person, so I apologize.
It's okay.
But I'm so grateful that we were able to connect because you have no idea how much you encourage me.
Oh,
and encourage my faith as I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Because when you're in this position, it can feel really lonely.
I completely understand.
Like
that.
Lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't have, you know, there's not a lot of people that can be close to this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not that you don't, like, it's not that you don't have friends, because you do.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
need friends. We need people.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends.
I have a lot
and
of
then
friends.
I have a friend who gets it.
You see what I'm saying?
Because I was just telling you before we started, I'm like, I'm out here making real life decisions.
And then we got to talk about that. Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, who's going to understand this? Like, because I can't, everybody not going to get it. Somebody's going to tell me, Brenda, you being too deep. Like, my friend had, I was so mad. My friend had a Galentine's Day party. I was ready when shopping, went to get my makeup done. And God said, now you know, because I was in consecration. So it's like,
wow,
I was salty. Wow. And I'm like, I have a friend that I could talk to that's going to encourage me in making this decision.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to go, now, Brenda.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I have friends who did that. And I respect them for being
right.
those friends.
Right.
And then there's another friend that I could say, like,
yeah.
bro, this is getting harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm feeling the separation.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the what it means to be set apart.
Yeah.
And I feel that so like strongly in this season. Like, I'm about to Exodus chapter 34 go up with the Lord for 40 days. And they're gonna be like, where did Brenda go?
Right.
Like, yesterday I felt the weight of it.
Yeah. So tell us what happened yesterday.
All right. So so like a week ago, I thought I was just doing a normal podcast interview. And in the conversation, well, actually, I have to start with that Monday. I was on a like leadership call with some leaders from Black Voices Movement.
Oh.
They're like circuit riders. So I was just like pouring into them. And they're sharing testimonies because they're on tour, like college tour.
Mm-hmm.
And they share a story about a girl who's like doesn't want to pledge in a sorority. And she, basically her parents have disowned her because she doesn't want to pledge and are pretty much like, don't call home unless it's an emergency. That in itself should have been a red flag.
For sure.
So I'm like, not over something that, all right, she ain't pregnant. She ain't, you know what I'm saying? She just is making a decision that's best for her life. That's crazy, parents.
Don't call home unless it's an emergency.
And so basically they were saying like, she kept saying like, I don't feel like it's what I'm supposed to do. Like, it's not for me. And they're like rejoicing on the call. So said person who's in a sorority sitting on the call like, oh, we don't do that. We don't do sororities and fraternities. Got it. So I'm just sitting there and I'm like, this is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like that this is coming up. So then fast forward, that was Monday. Fast forward to Friday, I get in a call, like a podcast interview. And this girl is just asking me random questions about purpose and all this stuff. And somehow ends up saying like, oh, I you know, recently renounced my sorority. And I'm like, so she's talking to me. And in my head, I'm like, hey, bro, what you after? Like, because there is a way somebody can say something where, you know, it's not, it's not them.
Random.
It's or, like, yeah, it's like God's using them to say this, but it's really him being after you. It's an invitation.
Yeah.
And so I finally just at the end of it, I said, like, could you tell me what sorority it was? It was the same sorority I was in. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. And so I kind of like hear her out. Mm-hmm. I've been in the sorority since 2011. So almost like 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I've never wanted to have a conversation about it. Like, mm-hmm. I never felt like I did anything that went against God, mm-hmm. like in my process and anything. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. People be real aggressive and they stepped into a new truth. Mm-hmm. And now they like, I'm going to hell if I don't accept the truth. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like the way it makes me feel. So I'll just be, and then people, I always get DMs. Mm-hmm. I always get comments like, what do you think about Christians and sororities and fraternities? And I'm like, I don't.
I don't think about it.
I don't think about it.
Yeah.
Should talk to God about that.
Yeah. He knows.
And so I ended up yesterday listening to the podcast because a girl sends me a podcast she did. And it's like an hour. I listen to it. I cry. I hear her say things about an oath that I took. Here's the thing she said to me that could have been the only thing in the podcast and I still would have made the same decision. She says... She's talking about like some things that happened in the process. And she goes, when you show up to an altar without a sacrifice, you know what that means? You're the sacrifice. And I said, And then she said, she said, we say something to the extent of like, this is forever until the day of judgment. I said, what? And then she was like, yeah. And then we said something like, we take this oath in front of the eternal spirit of truth. And that eternal spirit of truth is capitalized. I only know one truth and he ain't okay with that oath. And I was, to be completely honest, I was devastated. And I was like,
because that wasn't your intention, obviously.
Wasn't my intention. And I was like, God, I have been in covenant with Satan. And the crazy.
And it's that deep.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to.
No, it is actually that. Deep.
And I don't know anything about that life, sorority, bro. Fraternity. I don't, my family is, they know about that because they're in those organizations, but I've never went through the process and didn't know but it is that deep.
It is that deep. And I'm going to talk about it in depth. Now I'm like, no, I want to know because you try to play me. So I'm not going. It's just like, and I want people to be free because I was one of those people that would be like, nah, bro, I never did anything. You did all things that went against God because he says you shall have no other God before me. Mm. It's not just the idol you resurrect by being in the organization. You literally come into covenant. You took an oath, bro. That alone, it's like, what the heck was I was so naive. But here's the kicker, and here's why I love God so much, and I can only be frustrated with myself, because I pledged spring of 2011 and fall of 2012, I tried to denounce my letters because I felt like it was what God was asking me. I didn't have any revelation of the deep things of God. I had just got really serious about my relationship with God. And it was the first thing he asked me for.
In 2012.
And here I am, 12 years later.
And you officially denounced.
Last night, with the quickness, sent an email to the organization and said, I'm renouncing this because it goes against my beliefs in Jesus.
Wow.
And I want my name off a roll. Because the only book I want to be written in is the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't want to see my name nowhere else. The crazy thing is, a while ago, my friend had a dream where God showed her a principality in Los Angeles, right? Mm-hmm. Within Hollywood. And she says the name and I go, whoa, that is a goddess that exists on the shield of the sorority I was in. I said, how I'm going to have authority in a city and I'm in covenant with its principality? Bro, it's that deep. It's that deep.
Well, I am.
To be in covenant means we became one.
One.
And the thing is, God honors covenants. even if they are with another god. He honors them.
Nah, yeah, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna let you.
Nah, bro. I can't do. I literally, I start, and then I sent Megan this sermon because I'm always doing that to people. And in the sermon, he was saying, like, well, he was kind of calling out America.
I can't wait to watch it.
Our preachers are defiled, right? Bro, I didn't, at first when I was watching, I was like, they show large, child. Me too. Defiled. I literally was on the phone with my best friend, like, have we been preaching a doctrine of demons? What have we done? And I'm like, everybody asking, how did Satan get in the church? We brought him because we're in covenant with him. Because I bet you could go down the list of your pastor or a pastor you've had, and they're either a Mason or in some Black Greek letter organization.
That is scary.
And we use language like oaths and altars and eternal spirit of truth. And homegirl, that is the goddess, is supposed to be the goddess of wisdom. No, wisdom comes from one place.
Okay.
But the fact, and then it's like founded on Christian principles. Satan knows scriptures.
Right.
We shouldn't be impressed.
Right.
Where is Jesus in this?
Right.
Nah, bro. I can't. I wanted no parts with the quickness. I'm telling y'all, I listened to the podcast at 5:00, okay? The email went out while I was waiting on the plane. Because I don't fool with that. And I'm going to go through some deliverance.
Absolutely. For sure.
Oh, I already got my mama on the phone. Hey, can you send me this prayer? And I know you got a prayer of denouncing in this book that you got. Can you take a picture of that?
Send it to me.
And I got to go to Chicago because I need to get some real deliverance. I'm sorry.
I need it off me.
I cannot play, bro. Because lives, can you imagine? And there's a grace of God because I was not knowledgeable, but now that I am, it's like, I don't want to be imparting that into other people.
Oh,
no,
my God.
Bro, I can't.
I just have to say, like, it's so courageous of you. And I know you're doing it out of obedience. So
for
I'm
sure.
not trying to, like, I know this came from God.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying still for you, because you said you're in a season of saying, like, you've been in a season of saying yes to the Lord.
I came really quickly. Because,
like...
It's
crazy. I'm just like, that is going to help so many people who probably feel the same way towards it and don't know how to articulate it, don't know. Maybe I'm just tripping. It's not that deep.
No, it is.
It is that deep.
Bro, here's the crazy thing. So when I was in college, we were bringing in a line. But while we're bringing in the line, I was kind of like teetering on like walking away.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a girl who was in gospel choir with me. And I remember telling her, like, be careful what you get involved in. The nerve of me. Right. And I'm like, be sure. Child, she was one of the ones who told, and the line never made it through. And I was thinking about that the other day. Like, first of all, the Lord didn't want me to be initiating anybody into anything because I don't need that blood on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but the fact that it was one of the girls that I didn't have a little undercover conversation with. Child, I didn't mean in the line and I was getting kicked out of school. All right. And once again, the Lord was trying to spare me.
Right.
That's why I'm telling you, when it comes to obedience, you don't have a choice.
Mm.
You do. Death. That's the reality of it.
That's like, the reality.
It ain't always natural. It will be a spiritual one.
Yep.
And you wonder why you dry. And you wonder why you can't sit for 2 minutes to pray. You wonder why there's a disconnect. You wonder
or
why
you got
I can't
anxiety
hear.
Or you depressed.
Yes, all of those things. You probably are in rebellion.
Wow.
Because God gave you an instruction and you didn't do it. And it don't have to be this massive quit your job. It could have been, hey, that person that you don't like at your job, buy them coffee for the week.
That part.
And you can't do it because you in your flesh making decisions that only make you feel good.
Mm.
I'm sorry, but if you want to follow Jesus, you might want to get over that because you're probably never going to feel good about the things he asked you to do. Because do you think I wanted to get on my Instagram story last night and tell the people that I was, you know?
I didn't even see that. If I would have saw that.
And I cried a little bit, and I don't cry, bro. But I literally, my heart was broken in the fact that I would take an oath against God.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I literally called my best friend. We talked for like an hour and she still hasn't called me back yet. She was like, this is a lot.
Cause you be dropping stuff on people and they don't be having the capacity. You have to ask.
She didn't know what she was in for. She's also, you know, in the process of renouncing because it I didn't even call her for that. I just wanted to make sure that that one dream she had was that. And then it just all spilled out. And she was like,
gosh.
She was like, you said what in your oath? I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, the fact that I can't remember.
That was the part that got me.
I cannot remember crossing the sands. I can't remember what I said.
You said you didn't remember the rituals.
I didn't remember none of that. I didn't and you have to memorize it. I didn't retain any of it. I cannot remember. And I used to always say, like, that was the Lord protecting me. And it's like, no, dummy. It was Satan hiding it. Because if I would have remembered what I was pronouncing, then I would have instantly been like, oh, I got to get out of this. And I know my line sisters, I don't know if I can still call them that, being a renounced, you know. But I'm sure they're probably going to watch this and go, wow.
So,
hey, bro, let me tell you this. The same thing I said on my story. I'm not here to argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Because when you go before Jesus, you're going to go on your own and I'm going to go on my own. And I'm telling you, I don't want covenants with Satan on my account.
At all.
What?
What? Like,
first of all, I'm like in my head shocked if I had got to heaven and that was on my account. I'd be like, nuh-uh, Jesus.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that.
And he's like, yeah, you did.
You did.
You did. You did that.
And you missed all the warnings. And you missed all the ways I was trying to get you delivered from this. And bro, this ain't new. It's literally the Israelites. This is why they 11-day journey was 40 years.
Yeah.
Because they kept getting caught up in the systems of the world and what their culture around them was doing. And God's like, I'm the only God.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you got me here acting like this. I was supposed to be on my best behavior.
There's just so many things that, first of all, I could talk to you all day because there's so much, right? I'm like, where have you been my whole life? So there's so much, but I'm just thankful for you, like, truly. And after our call the other day, I was like, again, you have no idea how much you just encourage me in this space, especially just as a woman, but especially being like, there's not a whole lot of us out there.
Yeah.
And so, it's just new territory. Things are different. Things are intense. And the grieving is real. The burden feels heavy.
For sure.
And to be able to have somebody that I can reach out to and be like, bruh, you feel that?
Listen,
all right, cool. Because I'm just making sure it ain't just me.
I'll be watching stuff on Instagram and I'll be like, I was like, I want to
throw
why
my... This is why I can't be on it like that.
Well,
because I want to respond.
I do too.
I'd
be like, the Lord ain't released me yet. And you know why he didn't release me? Because I was in covenant with Satan. He said, you gonna go out there trying to challenge Satan. And Satan gonna be like, you belong to me.
Oh my God.
Sorry, sound man, because I'll do all the screaming. But this is how I be processing things.
Well, I'm so happy that you are not in covenant with Satan.
No.
And we're all thankful for that.
We are all so grateful for that. And this is what I love about God, though. Because, you know, it'd be the people that always be trying to check the other people, like how they not living. It's like, did God deal with you first? Because
this is my whole season of that.
Did God deal with you first? I had a conversation and I'm like, there are a lot of things that God has given me to say. He hasn't released me yet, but I'm going to start with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with, hey, my heart was far from God.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm getting caught up in this. And now we're talking about yeses. And yesterday I was like, I don't want to say yes to this next season of my life. Because he's like, get out of here.
Ooh.
Go into it. It's the fact that Exodus chapter 34. First of all, it's the first chapter I ever had to write a research paper on. I don't like it. But it's like that whole like conversation, y'all should read it, but it's like God is calling Moses up, but he's about to restore the covenant they broke after they built the golden calf.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the irony of my life in this moment. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's time. And I was driving yesterday and he was like, you're falling in love with the world. And I said, I can't own that.
Wow.
And whatever it takes to go ahead and separate me from what you think I'm falling in love for, let's go
do
for
it.
Bro, none of this stuff matters. he could take it all because he the one that gave it to me. Because mm-hmm. people be like, what's your strategy? Bro, I don't got one. I posted a video. Next thing I know, I'm 100,000 here. People. I'm like, could y'all unfollow me? Because I can feel the pressure of 100,000 eyes on me. I'm losing it. What is happening? I'm like,
for sure.
No.
For sure.
And I'm, bro, this do not matter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, and I'm like, I, it's the mercy of God
yeah.
that would say, I got to pull you out of this.
Yeah.
Before you lose
and no matter
yourself.
What it takes. And that's what, that's when you get to a certain place with the Lord, even when your heart is far, right? Because
yeah,
we have those times
for
where
sure.
our hearts are far from him.
Yeah.
I was experiencing that just a couple weeks ago where I was just like, you know, angry, and I felt like my heart was far
yeah.
from the Lord. And because I didn't trust him, and I knew I didn't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I like so bad, like I had cried myself to sleep. Like embarrassing, crying myself to sleep.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
You know, like, I can't do this anymore. Please, you can take the podcast. I don't want it. I don't. Like, you know, I was like, just take it all. I don't
yeah.
want to do it anymore. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want people to know me. I don't want any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I'll like, I just want to forget the last 33 years.
Not all 30.
I mean, but most of them. Like, I just want to, especially the last couple years,
yeah,
like
yeah.
the last 5 years. I'm like, Lord, I just want to forget the last 5 years and just start over and act, just pretend nothing ever happened. I don't need a platform. I don't want a podcast. I don't want to be known
yeah.
to anybody. And I'm just like crying, and I wake up and like embarrassed because I literally cried myself to sleep. And I felt like the Lord was just like,
when you finish,
you don't trust me.
Mm.
You don't trust me.
Yeah.
And I will continue to allow this friction and this frustration
until you learn
to trust
yeah.
me. You have to trust
yeah.
me. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And I think that it's just important that we get to a place where even knowing that it might be painful, but God, do whatever you need to do
yeah.
to keep me. Whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Whatever relationships you got
to
close.
Because he's able to do that.
Because he's able.
He's able to do that.
And he wants us to desire him above everything. Do you know what I mean? Like
I do.
Moses said, don't even take me.
He said,
if your presence,
forget about the
forget
promise.
That.
I said, Moses, you might want to check with the Israelites. I don't know if they feel the same way.
He didn't care.
He said,
do not
yeah.
take us.
And that the amazing thing about that story is God wasn't removing himself from Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I got you. He said, no. And you have to have that kind of mindset because your life is not about
you.
He could have been like, cool, God, let's go. No. All of the people that God created you to lead, to
yes.
influence, to impact,
yes.
your decisions
yes.
matter for them. And you got to hold the weight of that. And it's our job to, the reason I'm always telling the truth, I don't care how it make anybody feel. The last time I did a podcast though, and I cried, they said cut and I balled up because I felt so naked.
Ooh.
I felt so like, dang God, you ain't have to strip me in front of, you know, all the people. You know what I'm saying? We could have had this first and then told about it.
Right.
And I felt like, I've never felt like that, but it's like this darn book. And all I could hear was John Bevere saying, he who fears the Lord has nothing to hide.
Ooh-wee.
And I was like, you right, bro. And it's like, I feel like me sharing my journey is also humanizing me. So
mm-hmm.
you know I'm not a God.
Yep.
And I'm definitely not your God.
Yep.
And that's our responsibility.
Yep.
Like, I think about, there's a story in Acts with the centurion man. And
mm-hmm.
like, he has a dream and Peter has a dream. And when Peter comes to his house, he starts bowing. Peter said, uh-uh-uh.
Yeah.
The Lord did this.
Mm-hmm.
And I always stand on that because I need you to know, it ain't me, bro. I'm raggedy.
Filthy.
Okay?
Filthy. I be wanting to say that on every, like, hi, what's up, guys?
I'm
Megan
trash.
Ashley. I'm trash. think of every worst
yeah.
possible case scenario, and I need you to see me
yeah.
like that because I am not
no.
your, I'm not
no.
your God. I'm not your, he,
That's
him.
Why I got to point you to Jesus.
Him.
And I'm going to let you know we on the same path. Pursuing him pursuing the sanctification. But I ain't got it all figured out. And every time I hit it, I just told you the Lord said I was falling in love with the world. And I don't want no parts of that. And he's not lying. I can feel it. I can sense it. I can tell in my decisions. I can tell when I want to go somewhere, why I want to go there, why I want to be there. Nah, whatever we got to do, because you're the only thing that matters.
You're the only thing that matters.
Because I don't want to be in a position where I don't say something because of how it's going to make
somebody feel. Because
that's the enemy's tactic. Get you some friends that exist in other spaces. And now you don't want to say truth. Because you don't want to offend
nobody.
The gospel's offensive. Because the Lord be offending me every day.
Okay. Open it up.
Chin checking me.
Open it up.
The Bible is not. I don't know how y'all read this and come out with abundant life.
How do you read this and it's your haters and your next blessing? How do you read this and conclude that everybody going to be a millionaire by the time 2024 over?
I don't know. We got to stop.
Because I believe the Bible, we're big on this. Yeah, we need to wrap it up. But
Because we're going to be here all day.
No, seriously. Because we're big on the whole generational wealth and da-da-da-da-da and being rich and being a boss. But the Bible says that it's so hard for a wealthy man to enter the kingdom of God. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. But everybody want to be rich. I don't want to be a camel going through a needle.
I want to have money, but I don't want money to have me.
Not in that. I want to live a life of abundance,
for sure.
But only that God gave me.
Yes, and that I can steward the stuff that he entrusted me. Because all of this stuff costs money. It costs money.
Absolutely.
I'm like, Lord, you said quit the job. Job, money, make it make sense.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's like, to your point, I think like, man, it's like, when we receive Jesus, it's literally us showing up without a sacrifice because we are the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it's saying, I'm giving my life, my plan, my will, my emotions, what you want to do.
Whatever your will. Literally.
And even if it means the thing I waited for my entire life, that I got to walk away from it, you're worth that. What you've done for me is worth the response of my life.
Yeah. Every time, no questions asked.
Yeah, because here's
every
the thing.
Time.
It ain't just one time.
It's never just one time.
It is a consistent
every
life
day.
Of, again.
Every day.
Again, yeah,
every day.
Clearly.
Dying every day.
Yeah, no, it's...
Okay, I know. Sorry.
They like,
Brandy's
wrap,
like
it.
Wrap it. Okay. Okay, so promise me you'll come back. Okay.
Come on.
Just promise me you'll come back.
Atlanta's like second home.
And I'll come to LA.
Come on.
And we
you
can
gotta,
hang out.
Yes.
I need to come out there anyway, like soon. I need to come out there soon. But tell everybody what you're doing, where they can find you. Do you have anything coming up? Like, tell them all the things
before we
get out of here.
Shut it all down. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I am Brenda Palmer on everywhere. It's the same handle. I have a podcast, Life in Perspective, which is the Lord's podcast, because I just be doing stuff. Yeah, no, I don't have anything coming up right now. Like, I'm working on my first book, but it doesn't come out till next year.
Yay! That's exciting.
It is exciting and very intimidating.
I can't wait. I add it to mine.
Because
you know I like to read books.
We will make sure.
We can do a whole
you
thing.
Read the
I
book.
Got you. I will help you with the book tour, whatever you need.
No,
I will.
Sure.
I got you.
Yeah, and so I have pop-ups called Come Alive. And
when are you doing the next one?
We're working on tour. We're
going to
announce it March 1st.
Okay.
But we're doing Atlanta, Houston.
Let me know how
DMV,
I can support.
New York. You got to pull up.
I'm coming.
New York.
Yeah.
And then I want to do London.
Tell me when you want to go, because I want to go to London.
No.
Like, I want to go this year and I want to do
for
something
sure.
out there. Do you want to go?
Yes.
Don't
really,
play with me.
Bro, I'm serious.
It's on camera, because if you don't go.
You're lying. You're lying.
I'm going to pull
I'm
it back
I'm not
up.
Lying. No, for sure. I want to do London.
Let's
I
go.
I feel that in my spirit.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Okay. No problem.
It's
I will literally
done.
Make it happen.
Now, first of all, it's going to happen because they're going to harass us.
Harass.
The fact that it's been said
harass.
On here.
You said
you
it.
Said
okay, no. So we're going to do it. Y'all heard it first. We're going to go.
We're going
to
do it.
Because I've been saying that to Jay and Jordan and all of them. I've been saying
that.
Because
you're going to host like a conference or something, right? I saw you on your story, your live. I was in the comments saying, host it, Meg. You didn't know me then. Talk about the burden thing. Bro, when you be snapping about stuff, it's because you probably the answer to it. We didn't come here for that? Got it. You said you wanted me to It's true. All right.
Y'all, we are so thankful that y'all joined us on this podcast. And we are grateful for Pastor Brenda Palmer, who has...
It's been an honor, Pastor Meg. Love it. I'm glad that I finally met somebody I could do this to. Because it's always being done to me. Oh, wow. Just look at that. Seed time and harvest. Love that.
We want to make sure you guys follow Pastor Brenda on all her platforms. Watch her all of her sermons, because that's what she does. She preaches. And we want you guys to join us back here next week, where I will be talking.
Oh, that's what it is?
And she will be preaching.
Can somebody look up the definition of preach? Nobody? Oh, they got
Jalen.
He got
it. Are you kidding me? Wow.
Jordan had it.
Jordan!
Deliver a sermon or what? Wow. Look at that. In totality is a Christian pop. Typically a church. Typically. But what's a church? The body of Christ. Thank you guys for joining us. With Pastor Meg. She'll be back next week to preach you a sermon here.
Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.